ఆత్మనశ్చ పరస్యాపి వ్యాకరోత్యంతరోదరం హస్య భీనాదృశో మృత్యో విదధే భాయముల్బనం. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are bodily differentiations among all varieties of living entities. But a devotee should not distinguish between one living entity and another on such a basis. A devotee's outlook should be that both the soul and the super soul are equally present in all varieties of living entities. Lord Kapiladeva, in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, is explaining the principles of devotional service. In this regard, for several verses, he is revealing the great necessity of a devotee to be compassionate toward all living beings without discrimination. In previous verses, he explained that one who worships the deity of the Lord, performing all the proper rituals with the proper paraphernalia, but is ignorant of my presence in other living beings, never pleases me by the worship of the deity in the temple. By performing his prescribed duties, one is meant to realize the presence of the Lord in the heart of every living being. Sometimes devotees become very absorbed in the rituals of Krishna consciousness, but they do not understand the spirit of bhakti. The spirit of bhakti is to please Krishna. Whatever we do, if it does not please Krishna, then Bhagavat declares, Shrama Evihi Kevalam. It is a waste of time, whatever your occupational duty may be. Whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, if you're not pleasing Krishna by your efforts, from spiritual point of view, you have wasted your time. And then in Kali Yuga, we find the dilemma that everyone has their own conception or misconception of what pleases Krishna. Due to the false ego, everyone wants to think that whatever I want is pleasing to Krishna. Whatever I decide is best for me is pleasing to Krishna. Some may be thinking that engaging in sense gratification in various so-called pious ways is pleasing to Krishna. Another may be thinking by performing very, very severe austerities, torturing and depriving one's body of any basic necessities of life is pleasing to Krishna. Another may thinking by becoming a very great learned scholar and presenting philosophy very perfectly, that is pleasing to Krishna. Another may think that just by becoming dumb, fool, avaduta-like, like Jad Bharat, and just show myself as an ignoramus, that is pleasing to Krishna. Some way me thinking, if I become temple president or prime minister and control others according to my vision of religion, that is pleasing to Krishna. Another may think, if I just drop out of society and become a hippie, that will be pleasing to Krishna. So everyone has their conception of what is pleasing to Krishna. But if we want to know what pleases Krishna, we have to hear from Krishna. What is in the scriptures is the truth. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. One who receives knowledge through these sources knows things as they are. Acharya Upashanam. Prabhupada translates this, the one who hears from the Acharya knows what is what. Otherwise it is impossible. You cannot know. And the Acharya is simply citing from the scriptures. So what actually pleases Krishna is a soft, gentle, loving heart. That is what Kapila Dev is explaining here. A person who is genuinely concerned for other people's welfare. A person who offers respect to every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna. And who understands also that the super soul is in everyone's heart. If you disrespect anyone, you're disrespecting Krishna, who's in their heart. And this realization must be expressed through our actions. Bhakti means devotional service. Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And he told Krishna, I accept everything you spoke wholeheartedly. I am convinced. But then he didn't just sit on his chariot and just meditate on what Krishna said. He executed the order of Krishna by fighting. So if somebody feels that they are compassionate or merciful, but they do not express it to others, then that is not pleasing to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught us the most perfect process of pleasing Krishna. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simple formula. First of all, to purify your own heart by chanting Harinam, by hearing the glories of Krishna, by making intimate friendship with Vaishnavas, and then to preach, to be the instrument of the compassion of the previous acharyas. To preach without discrimination of who is fit or who is unfit, but to give the message of Harinam Sankirtan to the world. This pleases Krishna immensely, according to these verses that we are reading today. The loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna was propagated especially by the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. One time, a very learned, strict, austere Brahmin approached Haridas and chastised him. So what is this loud chanting? You're just causing a disturbance. These are secret mantras. They are not to be heard by people in general. Only people of the Brahmin class, being initiated, should silently chant these mantras. Haridas Thakur was being accused of being the destroyer of true religious principles by a learned, scholarly Brahmin. Haridas Thakur cited several shastras in which it explained that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna very loudly is 1,000 times more powerful than chanting silently within one's own heart. He quoted the same message from several scriptures. And he described by the loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna, not only do you become delivered, but all living beings who hear that sound vibration become purified. That is compassion. That's why the loud chanting is so much more pleasing to the Lord. Because it's an act of mercy. Not only do you become delivered, but everyone who hears it. The humans, whether they be men, women, or children, the birds, the animals, the insects, the vegetation like the grass and trees, their souls are all being stirred with devotion by hearing the holy name coming from the lips of a sincere, attentive devotee. When Haridas Thakur spoke these good words, the Brahmin became even more angry because he was defeated. He wouldn't accept defeat, so he used a typical strategy to dismiss everything that Haridas said. He said, "Now I see what the scriptures say is correct. Kali Yuga is really progressing. That a malecha, an untouchable person, has now thinks he has the knowledge to instruct a learned Brahmin." Haridas Thakur walked away. The Brahmin walked away. The Brahmin was not convinced, but all sincere souls who hear this story will be convinced. That the topmost way of making spiritual advancement is to please the Lord. On the path of bhakti, it's the only way we can make any spiritual advancement is by pleasing Krishna. None of the mechanical, ritualistic processes are going to bring us closer to Krishna unless we perform it in a spirit that is pleasing to Krishna. And what pleases Krishna so much is when we show our compassion, our love, our affection, and respect to other living beings. Because every living being is very dear to Krishna. They are his parts and parcels, his children. Aham bija pratapita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities within this entire material creation. Some children are naughty, some children are well-behaved, but still, Krishna may not be pleased with some, he may be more pleased with others, but still he loves every living entity. If a father has a child that's very, very misbehaved, he loves that child, but he's so disgusted with that child, he punishes the child. What if somebody comes and somehow or other preaches to that child and makes him well-behaved? How pleased will the father be to that person? He'll be so grateful. He'll be showering so much blessings. You saved my son. My son rebelled against me. He was cursing me. He hated me. And now by your influence, that son that I loved all my life, now he loves me. He's serving me. Father would be ever so grateful to such a person. Similarly, Krishna is very, very grateful and very pleased upon those who reawaken within the hearts of the demoniac, of those who rebelled against Krishna, the spirit of love and service toward the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada was criticized by people here in India. That, so what? You went to the West and made some low-class Americans and Europeans devotees. What's so great about that? The real great thing is if you can preach to the learned Brahmins and the kings and the prime ministers and make them devotees. But according to Krishna's calculation, one who can do that to the most low, downtrodden, out of compassion, and one who's willing to go to that extreme of sacrifice to reach out to those people, is so very, very, very dear to Krishna. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Thakur Haridas. Go everywhere. Do not discriminate who is fit or who is unfit. Give Krishna Bhakti to everyone. Just give them this message. Worship Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Chant the holy names of Krishna. If you do this, you will become my life and soul. Krishna is your mother, your father. Krishna is your real well-wisher. He's the real treasure of all wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went everywhere and anywhere, giving the kings and the untouchables equal opportunity to perfect their lives with Krishna consciousness. Because they knew this is the heart of the Lord. Thus we can understand how Srila Prabhupada took the actual spirit of devotion from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own heart through disciplic succession. And lived his life as an instrument of that mercy. When Raghunath Das Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar that I left my home, I renounced everything, what are the duties of a person in the renounced order of life? Gramya katana shunibe, gramya baratana kahibe, balana koibe, balana koribe. Do not speak like the common people, this gramya kata, common mundane talks, and do not hear what they say either. You should not dress very luxuriously, and you should not eat very opulently. Amani na manadehina, Krishna nam satalabe, Radha Krishna. He said that you should offer all respects to others. You should always chant the names of the Lord, and in your heart of heart you should always be meditating on serving the Leela of Radha and Krishna. Amani na manadehina. He said that you must offer all respects to others and expect none in return. This is one of the cardinal principles of renunciation. But how? How is it actually possible to offer all respects to others? It's not something that anyone can just artificially do with sentiment. You have to be philosophically convinced that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Otherwise, how can you actually offer respect? Respect has to really come from the heart. There's the show of respect. We say to a devotee, please accept my respectful obeisances. And as we're offering obeisances in our heart, we're thinking, I hate this person. I can't tolerate him. I hope he bloops. Vancha kalpatarubhyas jagripasandubhyevacha patitanampamani deobhaishnavima. That's better than speaking what you feel. But actual respect is from the heart. That when you say, Vancha kalpatarubhyas jagripasandubhyevacha, you're actually feeling that. This is a Vaishnava. This is a devotee. What to speak of offering respect to all living entities? That is only possible when we are philosophically equipped with the understanding that Krishna is in the heart of every living being as the super soul. And that Jivatma, however elevated or conditioned he or she may be, is in fact part and parcel of Krishna. Very, very dear to Krishna. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshostinapraya yeva janti tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapyaham. Krishna himself explains in Gita, I am partial to no one. I envy no one. I am equal to everyone. And I reciprocate according to how a person approaches me. That person who is my devotee surrendering unto my personal form, he is very dear to me. I am very dear to him. But Krishna loves every living entity. He's not partial to anyone. That person who is a demon, if they just change their heart and offer love and devotion to Krishna immediately, Krishna reciprocates. He's just waiting for that moment to come. So in all of our relationships with all living beings, we have to learn how to be a well-wisher. If every living being is part of Krishna, and I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that means I'm the servant of every living being. And according to Kapila Dev, unless you have that attitude applied to your life, all of your ritualistic performances, all of your mantras, tantras, yantras, they're not going to really please Krishna. In this regard, there's a story from Srimad Bhagavatam of a person who showed by his example how every devotee should aspire to be. And it is described that anyone who followed the footsteps of this person became the best of yogis and attained the perfection of bhakti. He was a king. His name was Ranti Dev. Ranti Dev was so simple. He never made any endeavor for his maintenance. Whatever came by the will of providence, he will accept it. He was so kind and compassionate to all living beings that his goal of life was simply to serve others and help them become elevated. One time, Ranti Dev and his whole family, they were all so inspired by him that they wanted to spontaneously just support him in every possible way because they loved him, they respected him, and he loved them and respected them. Love is reciprocal. If you don't feel loved, it's probably because you're not showing love. If you don't feel respect, it's probably because you're not showing respect. Human nature is people reciprocate with what you give them. If you're impersonalist toward others, then the odds are most people will be very impersonalistic to you. If you don't show care and affection for others, then they probably will be ignoring you. That's human nature. So many devotees say, "What is this? Nobody loves me. Everybody's so impersonal." But I haven't found anyone who extend themselves to be caring, loving, affectionate, and personal toward others saying this. How you behave toward others will draw out those qualities. If you insult someone, you're going to draw out their anger. If you praise someone, you're going to draw out their pride. If you're affectionate toward someone, you're going to draw out whatever affection is within their heart. In giving, we receive. So Ranti Dev was such a great soul that he and his family fasted for 48 days. You remember a few days ago, there was Janmashtami. And we fasted maybe 24 or 36 hours at the most. And some of you who fasted even from water, you know what your consciousness was. And you know at the time of breaking the fast, it was a great celebration. Ranti Dev fasted for 48 days. At the end of 48 days, he was literally on the verge of death. And he didn't go to look for food. Somebody brought him some nice prasad and some water to drink. So with folded palms, he offered his obeisances to the Supreme Lord in gratitude. And he was just about to divide the food up amongst his family members and eat, honor the prasad, when a Brahmin guest came to his house. That Brahmin came, and Ranti Dev, knowing he was a respectable guest, sat him down and fed the Brahmin to his full satisfaction. After offering obeisances to the Brahmin left. Then Ranti Dev took the food that remained and divided it to his whole family. Then he took his portion and was about to honor it, when a Shudra came to his door and said, "I'm very hungry. Do you have any food?" Ranti Dev had all of his family eat their food, and he took his portion and fed the Shudra. And then after offering respects and obeisances to the Shudra, greeting him with sweet words, whatever little was left, he was about to eat. At that time, a pack of dogs, along with the trainer of the dogs or guardian of the dogs, came to the house of Ranti. And he called out very loudly, "My dogs are hungry. Please give them some food." Ranti Dev, whatever food was left, he fed all the dogs and all the keepers of the dogs. Why? Because he saw that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. He didn't discriminate between the Brahmin, the Shudra, and the dogs. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gabihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. A humble and learned sage sees every living being with equal vision, whether one be a Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or a dog eater. Now Srila Prabhupada makes very clear that Ranti Dev was a devotee. He was seeing every living being as part of Krishna, and he was seeing that Krishna is in everyone's heart. But he did not subscribe to this Mayavadi misconception of Daridra Narayan, that the poor people of the world are poor Narayans. Because Narayan is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He's never poor. And if you subscribe to this Daridra Narayan, that Narayan is poor, this person is a poor Narayan, well, Narayan is also in the heart of the dog and the hog. So does that mean that species is dog Narayan? And this is hog Narayan? And this is snake Narayan? Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. We understand that the Lord is within everyone's heart as this super soul, and he's also expanded himself in all of his parts and parcels. The part and parcel is the eternal servant of the Lord. But no one can ever become God. The Brahmin, the Shudra, the dogs, Ranti Dev knew full well that they are not Krishna. But they are part of Krishna. Therefore, they are deserving my respects and obeisances and my compassion and my service. Bhante Dev offered his obeisances and deep heartfelt respects to each and every one of those dogs and gave them all his food. All that remained was a small portion of water that was enough to satisfy one person. That was fit to save Bhante Dev's life for the time being. He was about to drink the water when a chandala came to his door. This chandala was shivering of hunger and thirst. And he said, "Oh, please, I need some water. Do you have any water?" Bhante Dev felt so much compassion to see the struggling and the suffering of this chandala. And in that spirit of self-sacrifice and compassion, he spoke a beautiful prayer, which Shukadev Goswami says is Amrita. These words of Bhante Dev are nectar. What is the quality of nectar if you drink it? If you drink nectar, you taste something nectarine. And you get great, great benefits. So anyone who hears the nectar of these prayers with a proper state of mind will achieve everlasting life in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhante Dev's limbs were trembling with hunger and thirst. He folded his palms and he spoke these words: "I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from the repetition of birth and death. I want only that I may live amongst all living entities so that I may suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they could become free from suffering. By giving my portion of water to sustain the life of this chandala who is struggling to live, I have become free from all hunger, all thirst, all lamentation, all bodily trembling, all anxiety, and all illusion." Thus, King Bhante Dev offered his respectful obeisances to that chandala, to the Lord in his heart. Then he gave him the water that was his only means of sustaining his own life. The next moment, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods appeared before him. Actually, it was Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods that took the form of the Brahman, the Shudra, the dog keeper, and the chandala. Bhante Dev offered his respectful obeisances to them too. They wanted to test him. They wanted to show the world what is a Vaishnava. They offered him any benediction. Bhante Dev did not ask for anything. He already asked for his benediction in his prayer. He simply offered his obeisances to Vishnu in the hearts of the demigods. He wanted nothing in return. This is Vaishnava. We find that many people in this world today are charitable. They like to help the poor, but they want a nice plaque with their name on it wherever they help the poor. They want their name in the newspapers for all that they have done. They want their family, friends, and others to recognize what benevolent, compassionate, merciful people they are. And they also want tax write-offs from the government. So they want so many fringe benefits for their charity. Therefore, they are not ohaitakiyaprithiyada. They are not unmotivated. They're motivated with selfish interests. Sometimes if you feed the mouth of a poor person, your real motive is to feed the mouth of your own false ego, of thinking, just see, I am sustaining and maintaining other people's lives. Everyone should see this. I'm setting the example for the world to follow. Follow me, Hare Krishna. But Bhante Dev did not want anything, even from Brahma, Shiva, or the demigods. You know, when Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Vritrasura, Vrikasura, when they performed tapasya and these same demigods appeared before him, they had so many well-planned benedictions to ask from them. But Bhante Dev did not say a word. Simply he offered obeisances to Lord Vishnu's lotus feet when he saw them. Anyabilasita sunyam jnana kamanya nabhirtam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktarutama. Unmotivated devotional service is not tinged with any desires for material gain, either from karma process or from even philosophical speculation. Shukadev Goswami describes in regard to Bhante Dev that he was such a king. By his example, he melted the hearts of all of his kingdom. And they all followed in his footsteps. They all were offering respectful obeisances to the core of the heart of every other. They were all compassionate servants of other living beings. And thus, all of his subjects attain the perfection of yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shradhavan bhajate omam samayukta tamamata. They became pure devotees of the Lord. They achieved the perfection of liberation. This is the power of the influence of a sincere, surrendered devotee of the Lord. He can actually transform the hearts of others. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes Thakur Bhakti Vinod, that this is the one of the ways we can judge who's actually an empowered Vaishnav, by how many people's hearts he could actually change and make them into genuine Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya said, na tanam na janam na sundarim kabitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite kitvai. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women. Nor do I want fame disciples, followers. No pratishtha, prestige. Not even liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you birth after birth after birth after birth. So is this a contradiction? Mahaprabhu saying, I don't want followers. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda is saying that the test of a real Vaishnava is he transforms people's hearts and makes them into Vaishnavas. That means such a devotee does not want anything for him or herself. Devotee has no interest in followers. His only interest is service. If followers come, that's not the desire. The desire is just to serve those people. And if they're not followers, to serve those people. And how do we try to serve? By transforming their hearts from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun. Maya is like darkness. In the presence of the sun, darkness cannot remain. In the presence of Krishna, within the heart, the darkness of ignorance and illusion cannot remain. The greatest charity, Lord Chaitanya explained, is para upakar, to give Krishna consciousness to others, to somehow or other inspire Krishna in the heart of another, because that will dispel all illusion, that will free a person of all suffering. On every level, a devotee is compassionate. There are many well-known stories of Srila Prabhupada in the mood of Ranti Dev. In Mayapur, he saw some very poor children, very low caste by social conventions. And there was garbage dumped behind the guest house, and these children were scrapping through the garbage with flies swarming all about their bodies, trying to find something to eat. Tears fell from Prabhupada's eyes. He said that our temples, no one should be hungry. For miles around our temples. And it was with that statement that the Hare Krishna Food for Life program began. Now worldwide, millions of plates of prasad are served out. The source of that was that one incident where Prabhupada saw the suffering of people in this world. He saw that they were hungry, but he didn't only want to feed their bellies, he wanted to feed their souls by giving them prasad. During our Vyas Puja of Srila Prabhupada, one devotee narrated that nice story where Prabhupada's sitting in his room and his servant Shruti Kirti comes in. And Prabhupada's looking at the ground, very attentively, looking at the floor, very attentively, very seriously, just staring at the floor. Shuktikirti is trying to figure out what is Guru Maharaj looking at. Finally, Prabhupada said, "You see that tiny little insect there? I've been watching it for some time. It can't find any food in my room. It's hungry. Pick him up with this leaf and put him on the leaves of those trees so he can be well nourished." Sutta Kirti was very, very much taken back. that here is the Jagat Guru, the world Acharya, going on jet airplanes all around the world, time and time again, preaching. But yet, so much time and attention he was giving, just meditating on the sorrows of a little insignificant insect. It wasn't that he just wanted to give him food. He was brought to the trees to eat the leaves. But he also received Prabhupada's blessing. Who knows who that soul in the insect is today? Maybe one of your children. Take care of them with great attention. They're very dear to Prabhupada. So this is compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going through Jharikhanda forest, he induced everyone to accept love of God from him. Generally, nobody likes tigers. Recently, we were at our downed Govardhan project, and I don't want to scare anyone away from it, but this should actually attract you to want to live there. But a few nights before, there was a tiger on the property, and they showed us the tiger footprints, paw prints. Very nice tiger paw prints. Way too big to be a dog or a cat. And one of the devotees living there was doing some work at night, watering some plants, and he happened to saw the tiger. Kind of a small tiger, adolescent tiger. And they took some pot and made noise and scared the tiger away. Hare Krishna. Well, Prabhupada, he explains that in days of yore, when he was young, when tigers would come to the villages, do you know what the people would do? They would bring all kinds of milk and rice and just put it out in the edge of the forest for the tigers to eat. Prasad. It would all be Krishna prasad. Then they would have full bellies full of nice prasad. They would go back to the forest and they wouldn't bother anybody. Hare Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that he knew one friend who had a cloth shop and rats were coming and eating the cloth, putting him out of business. So he could have gotten rat poison. He could have gotten rat traps, put little food in the rat trap, and then crack the rat's skull. There's different ways of dealing with it. But Srila Prabhupada was very happy to see how this man was dealing with his rat problem. Every day he would put a big, big bowl of rice out, and the rats would eat the rice, be fully satisfied, go back to their homes, and not touch his cloth. When cockroaches were in the temple, devotees were singing and then killing them because they were passing cockroach stool everywhere. Prabhupada said, "You are inviting a guest and then you are killing him?" And the devotee asked, "We didn't invite them." "Yes, you did invite them. You leave a mess, you're inviting them. You keep things, everything perfectly clean, the cockroaches won't come. They'll go somewhere else." Prabhupada was seeing the Lord in the heart of every living entity. He was kind. He was compassionate. He wasn't just seeing a body. Similarly, Prabhupada was sometimes criticized because, according to some ritualist, smarter Brahmins, he was giving many facilities to women that they didn't consider proper. Prabhupada was saying that they're part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, they should be given all encouragement, all respect, and all rights to become enlivened and inspired in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was also giving Brahman initiation to people who were not, according to the traditional conceptions, qualified to be Brahmins. But according to scriptures, anyone who is sincerely following Krishna consciousness is better than a Brahmin. In the line of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he fought and challenged these people who had these materialistic conceptions of life. Why there's such a great spreading of other religions in India? It was because of lack of compassion. For many, many centuries, it was the ritualistic Brahmins who were ruling over the Vedic religion. They would not allow anyone who is from a lower caste, what to speak of an outcast, into a temple. They were not allowed to chant mantras. They were not allowed to take any initiations. They were not allowed any rites of religion. They just had to be like, they just had to serve those people who were religious. So other people came by and said, "You can come in our temples." So they came to their temples and converted. When Srila Prabhupada went to Puri, devotees were not allowed in the temple. He said, "Is this Jagannath or is this Indianath? If he's Indianath, then it's correct. Nobody not born in India should be allowed in. But if he's actually Jagannath, he's the Lord of the universe. Anyone from anywhere in the universe who has faith in him should be welcomed, respected, honored, glorified for coming to worship Jagannath." So here we find from Lord Kapila Dev that as the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you are wonderfully explaining about compassion to all living entities at whatever capacity we can. Especially it was a very great alarming example of Prabhupada, who even cared for insignificant insects and everything. My question is related to this only. I mean, for practical reasons, because when we are walking around, or when you go to yatras in Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, or when you have programs, so we have a lot of, on the ground, mosquitoes, ants. We cannot even control them, we avoid them, or trample over them, which cannot be avoided. So how we can actually show respect and compassion for things which are difficult, cannot be avoided, or this thing?
You should try to avoid as far as possible. But if you're always chanting Hare Krishna, if somehow or other you unavoidably step on one, they'll die hearing the holy name. Hare Krishna. So you should try to be as compassionate as possible. I was telling the story that Peter Burwash explained to me. He was a very famous champion tennis player. And he was always on television, always in newspapers, magazines, radios, doing so many interviews. He was a very famous person. And he met Srila Prabhupada in Toronto and spoke for 3 hours with Prabhupada on one subject: how to do business for Krishna. because he was also a businessman as well as a tennis player. And on the basis of what he heard from Srila Prabhupada, since that time, he's giving seminars all over the world to top business executives, government officials, simply explaining the principles Prabhupada taught him about management and leadership. He gets paid $5,000 an hour. Hare Krishna. So if you want to invite him to your company, he's ready to come. He travels around the world. A couple years ago, 300 days a year he had programs. But he told me a story about one of his highlights of his tennis career. An experience that is far more sacred and precious in his memories than all the championships he won was one that he lost. It was a championship tournament final event. Millions and millions of people were watching on television. Tens and thousands were present in the stadium. It was the last, I don't know tennis, what is it called, serve? Shikshastakam Prabhu was also a very champion tennis player in his previous life. It was the final match point. And for those of you who play tennis, I'm not one of them, but he told me, where you position yourself is going to determine whether you win or lose. So he saw the perfect position where he knew he could beat this person. But he happened to see some ants crawling in that place. So he positioned himself a distance away. And everyone in the stands and everyone in the television was thinking, what is he doing? He's going to lose. Why is he standing there? And sure enough, the ball came to him and it was out of his reach. He lost. He lost the championship tournament in front of millions of people because he didn't want to step on an ant. This is what he gained from Prabhupada's teachings. And he told me in Vrindavan, this was one of the highlights of his tennis career. He said, I do not regret that. I felt that I pleased Srila Prabhupada. That was more important than winning the tournament. He's not an initiated person. He never took initiation. But he has faith. Real initiation is in the heart. Some of us have spiritual names. We're chanting all kinds of Gayatri mantras. Other mantras as well. We're reading all kinds of esoteric books. But do we have the compassion of this person? A tennis player? Recently I was in Italy and someone was telling me about how there's some sects of Christianity. They're so nice and kind to each other. But yet, they eat meat. They don't mind slaughtering animals and eating their flesh. But they're very nice to other human beings, very philanthropic, very charitable, very kind by nature. And I was thinking, therefore, there's a defect in their compassion. But we have seen some devotees who propagate like thunder
the glories of vegetarianism. And they create the propaganda of how demoniac meat-eating is. But they're negligent and cruel to their God-brothers and God-sisters. That's also a defect. Some are kind to humans and cruel to animals. And there are devotees who are kind to animals but cruel to humans, especially Vaishnavas. That's also a defect. Compassion means without discrimination. That means to the poor and the rich. That means to the animals and the humans. That means the karmis and the devotees. Sometimes devotees go out of the temple and they're really kind and compassionate and they speak about love, and then they come back home and they just chastise each other. Sometimes in the home of a grihastha, very charitable, very kind, but then cruel to each other. What are the vows that we take in marriage? We take vows of chastity, faithfulness, that are the vows of a wife, and protection is the vow of a husband. We should actually be committed to make that person happy in Krishna consciousness. If a wife is not faithful to her husband, if she's not very chaste, then the husband will be miserable. And to make a Vaishnav miserable is Vaishnav aparad. You will not make proper spiritual advancement. A wife is supposed to try to assist her husband in his devotional service and in his career as far as possible by taking care of the things at home and whatever else is required. But should we do it in a cheerful spirit? Actually, when the husband comes home after a hard day's work, all anxieties, a wife should be of such a sweet disposition that she makes the husband happy. She feels this is shelter. She should make the house like Goloka Vrindavan, not like Naraka Loka. As soon as the husband comes home, do you know what happened today? And what do... I need a new sari. How can you expect me to do all this? It should be sweet disposition. But what does it mean for a husband to protect a wife? Unfortunately, because males are generally predominant in society, there's a certain type of male ego that you should follow your vows, but don't look at what I'm doing. So many women are being preached to. You should be chaste, you should be faithful, you should be assisting their husband, but who's preaching to the men? Protection means physical, emotional, and spiritual. If you neglect any of the three, you are an offender. You are breaking your vows. Physical means you provide the necessities of life according to your capacity. And you try to make your family happy. If you want your family to be actually Krishna conscious, you have to create an environment that they're happy in Krishna consciousness. If you try to force your children to be Krishna conscious and you don't give them happiness in doing it, they're not going to be devotees. We have to give them a sense of satisfaction being a devotee. That's what it means to protect. So supplying the basic material necessities are actually very simple. The animals do it. Don't be proud that I have given my wife a car and I've given her an electric toaster to make toast and I've given her a nice oven and where she can bake bread and I've given her a marble floor to put her feet on and I've given her a nice bed to sleep on and I give her 258 saris with 258 matching sets of jewelry. The animals do that in their own way. But still, it's your responsibility to provide the necessities. But a more important aspect of the vow of protection is emotional. A woman must be, the wife must be respected. If you do not respect your wife, you will not make proper spiritual advancement. Because she's a Vaishnavi. Amanina manadana, amanina manadena. Offer all respects to others except my wife. That's usually the way husbands think. I'll respect every other woman as my mother, but it says respect every woman except your wife as mother, so I am following that very nicely. You're supposed to respect your wife like the goddess of fortune. She's a Vaishnavi. And everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs to feel that they are appreciated. If a wife serves the husband and the husband just neglects them, doesn't say anything, that's offensive. The wife is drying up inside. She feels lonely, isolated, unloved, unprotected. Tell them, if they do something nice, thank you. I appreciate this. This is wonderful. If you don't tell them, they won't believe you. I'm not a woman, and I'm not a husband. But Lord have mercy, I've dealt with enough husbands and wives that I have some understanding, I think. If you don't tell them that they're doing something good, they will feel that you have rejected them. And if somebody's doing so much with no appreciation, no encouragement, they'll be miserable. And what happens when they're miserable? They'll make you miserable. And then there's just misery. And then the husband's saying, why are you like this? And the woman, oh, because you're like this. Why are you giving me? You just neglect me. You ignore me. You don't care about me. I do care about you. Shut up. I'm the guru. I'm the representative of guru. I'm the king of this house. You just shut up. I care about you. I'm protecting you. Aren't you eating my food? I don't have to take this anymore from you. It's Kali Yuga. Have any of you ever heard this dialogue before, Yugrihastas? Did it sound like a tape recording? The duty of a husband to give encouragement, respect, and show appreciation. Appreciation is a type of affection. If you're not doing that, you're not properly protecting your wife. Some husbands, they have a fanatical misconception of our philosophy. They think my wife is Maya. She's Maya Devi. I'm living with Maya Devi. Very dangerous. And if she does something for me, then she's just trying to trap me by her service.
And if she doesn't do anything for me, then she's just a rascal. But she's done something for me. I have to ignore her and neglect her, otherwise I'll fall into her trap. And then when she's so miserable because of my misuse, abuse, and negligence of her, she cries. These tears are another trap of Maya. It's trying to allure me into her web, her network of feminine manipulations. Therefore, I will ignore her. Just stop crying. This is all Maya. Hare Krishna. This is not philosophy. This is foolosophy. Philosophy is amanuna manadena. To be respectful, to protect your wife, to give her encouragement, to give her appreciation, to make her happy in Krishna consciousness. If she's happy in Krishna consciousness, she'll make you happy in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will be happy. Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport, where a husband and wife are living happily at home in Krishna consciousness, the goddess of fortune is living there. So many actions and reactions. So on every level, whatever our relationships be with others, we should be striving to be paradukaduki. Their suffering is my suffering. To actually serve another is to be respectful, affectionate, and caring to that person according to the need of the time. That is service. That is what will please Krishna. And that is what we must strive to mold our life to become a real devotee. Does that answer your question? Maybe it didn't, but it may have answered somebody else.